from the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Father, this morning, we stand in awe. We stand in awe of the one who gave it all. The one who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Lord, I pray you show us your glory and your presence will affect us. Let your word come forth and accomplish everything you are sending it for. Let your people not leave your presence in your house the same as they came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap? And you may please be seated. All right. Are you glad to be in church? Yeah. Wonderful. You know, the Bible speaks about the narrow way. How many have heard the Bible speak about the narrow way before? Have you ever thought about it? Why the Bible talks about the narrow way? Where is that scripture? Let's go there. Who knows where it is? Sorry? Jesus said something about the narrow way. All right. It's working. Matthew chapter 7. Isn't it? So Matthew 7 verse 13, if you want to start from there, the Bible says that, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 says that, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The New Living Translation says, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Have you thought about this verse before? How many of us have read this verse before? You've read this verse before. Only five people. So the rest of you, who are you? Are you Christians? Or you are spies? The Bible says that there is a way that is narrow. The gateway to life is very narrow. And the gateway to destruction is very wide. It tells you that if life is a real deal, then only a few people ever really make it in life. Because the Bible says only a few who find it. Now, when we were born, or even before you find somebody and you decide to tie the knot and you begin to live together as a married couple, and then you begin to make children, you realize that it is full of narrowness. And when I say it is full of narrowness, I'm talking about the fact that the things that you have to do to really make it and do, I mean, what you really have to do, it's like a narrow path you have to go through to do the things you have to do. What do I mean? When we say the way is wide,
It means that there's a lot of room and freedom. There's space to do whatever you feel like. In other words, when you have the liberty and the freedom to just do anything the way you want it, you are actually on the wider way. That is the one that leads to destruction. But the one that is narrow, the one that you barely have to, you know, squeeze yourself to pass through, the one that has a lot of rules, a lot of control, a lot of oversight, a lot of people minding your business. The Bible says it is that rather that leads to life. Yeah. Now, if you like, you can challenge it. And you see that even in the secular world, it takes discipline to really achieve something. You, when you get money, just feel like doing anything with the money and see whether you ever be rich. Yeah. If you feel you are beautiful, you are handsome, you go around and just express your beauty, your handsomeness all over the place and see what will happen to you. It is rather when you are handsome or good looking that you really have to stay very straight on the road. Yeah. Because once you are edible and juicy, everybody wants to take a bit of you. So if you are going to feel free, say, oh, you want some? Come take some. Come get some. By the time they finish with you. So the real things in life is very, very strict. When you go to school and there's no strictness in the school to do well, that is a destructive environment you find yourself in. When you come to church and you are allowed to do just anything, it's a very bad church you are in. You need a church and a pastor whose eyes are on you, because it is a narrow road to life. Hey. The moment you forget and you ignore discipline. That's why people who are even principled in the world and who have morals, they tend to feel they are all that. Because it takes all of that to really do well in life. I don't know who's listening to me this morning. Yeah, so you feel like you can just do whatever you want to do. You can come to church when you feel like. You can read your Bible when you feel like. That is a broad way. The Bible says it is distraction that is ahead of you. Yeah. That is why when you are born, you are placed in a home. That there are two eyes, four eyes that are looking at you. Two from this direction, two from the other direction. When you lack the four, it does not work well for you. Yes. You look at it. Anybody who disciplines themselves, who is frugal, who is very careful in spending, very careful in, you know, moving around and things, you see how those people get rich. Rich people are only people who manage their expenditure as against their income. Somebody who's rich is not anybody who is unique or special. It is somebody who is very careful and disciplined to monitor their expenditure as against their income. It's simple. If you think that just as it comes in, it will go out, you will be the ones who, when the pastors are prosperous, you'll be jealous and you'll be saying bad things about us. So you have to embrace a lot of oversight. That's why the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have somebody who does not take his eyes off me. And that is the reason why I shall not want. Not when I don't have anybody over me. When I have my freedom. When I have my liberty. When I can do anything I want to do. That's when I prosper. That's not what it is. I'm preaching from the Bible. I'm preaching from the Bible. Yeah, B for Bishop is preaching from the Bible. Yeah. And it's a good policy. Yeah. That's why we have the book of the Lord. The Bible says, do not allow the book of the Lord to depart out of thy mouth. And thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Yeah. People who like freedom and liberty don't do well. Yeah. Any country that doesn't like parking meters will not do well. You park anywhere. You park there the whole day with your belt and your bags in the trunk, and you open it and you're doing business. Once people want to genuinely come and do something, they can't find a place to park. Hey, parking meter is not a bad idea. Maybe the way and all of that. But to prepare and park is not a bad idea, because who parks their car at American Street all day? And sell and do all of that. It's a lot of lawlessness. You may not agree with the parking meter, but rules are good. Yeah, rules are good. Hallelujah. So this morning we want to continue looking at the honor and the anointing. Time is not going fast at all. Was it last Sunday that was my first Sunday? So this is my second Sunday. Hey, it's very slow, pa. I thought it was like the third Sunday since we came back. We're taking our time. Okay. So if you have this book somewhere, you can access it. We're looking at the honor and the anointing. Now, in talking about the rules, we also have to understand that the church has the anointed and his anointing. That's the title of the book. Now, in talking about rules, we are also teaching you how to honor the anointed. Are you with me? Christianity is a new way of life to all of us. None of us were born with a silver spoon, they say. None of us were born with a Bible. It wasn't that when we were born, then we were holding the Bible. When we were born, we all came into this world. David said that it was in sin that my mother conceived me. So all of us came as sinners. In fact, the Bible says that, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So we start this world, we start our lives as sinners. No matter how good looking you are a sinner. So the Bible, with its 66 books, from Genesis to Revelation, is very foreign to us. It is when we come into Christ, we enter the kingdom, that the Bible now must be our guiding light. Are you there? Now, that is where we struggle, because it is all like rules and do this and don't do that and do this and do that, and we don't like them. Because some people will ask you, is it bad to listen to worldly music? It's because you don't like it, that's why you're asking. Is it good to Bishop, can you tell me whether it's good to drink alcohol or not? I don't know. If you won't drink it, you just don't want to obey and to walk on the narrow way. So you are looking for somebody to confirm the stupidness that you dip on. Yeah. You go and then you sleep with somebody, you get pregnant, and you come to the church, you are not married, and you are fighting for, I want to offer my child, I want to christen my child. You like them things because you don't want to be, you don't want to go on the narrow road. You can't open your legs anywhere, anyhow, and get babies. And then when you come to the church, and the church just doesn't say anything about it. No, we can't, we don't have scurvy in our mouths. We will pray for your child anyway, but we'll have to tell you. If it's something as simple as, if you are going to christen your child, bring your child father. Even that many people are not able to do that. You should come and see how people are fighting us and say, but the father says he won't come. You think we are joking here? No. We want you to be on the narrow road, which comes with a lot of recognition of the words of the scriptures. Yeah. Yeah. Because people like to just flow. Anybody who loves you will not just allow you to flow. Because flowing is dangerous. You see, take for example, you are swimming in a pool or you are swimming in the sea. And there is no sign as to this area is a little dangerous. Don't go there. And you just jump to the sea and you are just swimming. You will not come back. Even in swimming pools, they tell you this place is 4 feet, this is 6 feet, this is 8 feet. Because you can go somewhere, you go deep down. And if you don't know how to swim well, you can easily not come back. So everything in this life has, you know, borders and boundaries. But human beings, we don't like borders and boundaries. When it comes to the church, people have learned somehow to not respect pastors, to respect churches, to even respect God. And it's almost like it's a very big project to turn people from that disrespect to a place where they will honor and then uphold and you know, honor and what? Appreciate these people that God gave to us. So I started talking about it last Sunday. That this church, for the first time in our history, has been given a bishop. B for bishop. Yeah. And my son said, BS for bishop's son. I'm sure if there was a simpler version of this, he would also put it on, I tell you. I tell you, he will come right to the church with it. So what do you do? I mean, yes, I was a pastor. Yes, I was a reverend. And this is a message I'm not just preaching for myself, but it is something that to teach you generally. But I feel that we have entered an era that those of us that were sleeping, that were slacking, really have to wake up. Because it can be a little bad for us if we don't look at things carefully. So we had this lady, a woman from Shunem, the Shunammite woman, who the Bible says used to give Elisha food. Anytime Elisha would pass, would stand by the roadside and say, "Man, come in and eat a little chana, man." Elisha said, no, I'm not here to eat. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I don't like this. The Bible says that the woman compelled, constrained, and acazoed, forced Elisha to come in and to eat. And as he was passed by and eat, then one day she decided that they should build a house for Elisha. Now, if this church decides to build a house for me, you hear all kinds of foolish statements. You see, because people just don't know how to follow the straight and the narrow rope that God has given to us. So I'm teaching you from a book. I'm also teaching you from the Bible that you have to learn to honor the anointing. You see, for some of us, we grew up in good homes. So everybody who grew up in a good home. So sometimes there are some little, you know, here and there that we don't know. Do you get it? Some way to how to address people, how to relate to people. Sometimes we don't even know those things. So when it comes to a reverend and then a bishop, I don't know how to behave. I'm just trying. When I woke up, I was a bishop. So I'm not trying to behave like one. I wish there was a manual that when you wake up in the morning, bishop, you do this. 12 o'clock, you do that. 6 o'clock, you do that. So I can follow the manual. Just as I don't have a manual, you don't have a manual. But I cannot just leave it open. I have to find some things to teach you and to help you understand and to, you know, begin to do things at a different level. Amen. So we are going to go through these things that I have here in the book. And the first thing I want us to understand when it comes to honoring the anointing is that are you there? Last week, what point did I give you? Did you write anything down last week? You didn't? Okay, so you can write something down this week. The honor and the anointing. So the first thing I want us to understand is that where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. Where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. Where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. If you are there. If you're here for the first time, you're very welcome. May you never stop coming. In Mark chapter 5, I think it's verse 38, the Bible says that, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. This is when somebody had come to see him about their servant, that the person was sick, was dead, and that he should come and help. And whilst he was going, the woman with the issue of blood came in and touched the hem of his garment. So immediately after that, this is where he continues. And he says that, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado? You guys should do the New Living Translation. And then he said, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. And he went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him. You know, sometimes when you say something that people are not used to, they laugh at you. But he made them all leave. Anytime you are around people who laugh at you, you should leave that environment. Anytime you are with people who don't appreciate you, who laugh at you, who tease you, who belittle you, who try and say things about you, use this, use that, you should get out of that place. The Bible says that, but Jesus made all of them leave. All those people who were laughing at him that the person is dead and you are saying that the person is asleep. The Bible says Jesus drove all of them away because they were not worthy to be where he was. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talita, kumi, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Do we have our scripture back? I'll be very happy if we can have it on the screen. He says, chapter 6 and verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The beginning of this chapter is very interesting because Jesus is just, or the Bible is just about to contrast two places. So the Bible says that he left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. So let's say Prince goes to, goes to Cummins Lodge and he goes to have a campaign. And the people, a lot of cheers. Now he comes to Isla Penitence to do the same campaign to become a president. Let's see what happens. The Bible said, the next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Now, where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. God anoints for his people. Now, the Bible says Jesus went about doing good. He was not anointed for himself. He was not anointed to feel good or to do anything. He was anointed for the people, to help the people. So if we don't honor the anointing, we actually are refusing God's help. ministry in his own home. Now, when a pastor stays in his church for a long time, people lose respect and admiration for him.
True talk.
Yeah. That is why many pastors will tell you, when you are coming to see me, bring an offering. Bring a seed. Because if you don't take care, people just come and see you. Come in, go out. Come in, go out. And when they leave the church, they don't even care about you. It's true. When your time comes to be annoying and leave the church, you don't even think about the pastor. Yeah, it happens. It has happened here several times. This morning, to my surprise, I got a text message. When I saw the number, I said, I think I remember this number.
There was no DP. It was a WhatsApp message. There was no DP. There was no display picture. There was no name. It's a ghost, but I know the ghost. Yeah. And the ghost was saying,
good morning, Bishop Collins. I know I am not worthy, but please accept my congratulations. I saw the number and I said, hey, I know this one. I said, you see, once you become a bishop, even people who have left, who don't want to have, I said, and this is somebody who has left our church. I remember I went to the person's house. The person refused to speak to me. I was there with one of our pastors, Bishop David from Jamaica. I was there with him in the person's house. This person refused to say anything to me. So at the point I said, you know what? Let's go. If this person is not listening, let's go. So how come now? Congratulations. Be for Bishop. Yeah. All my enemies are sending me congratulations on Facebook and all of that. You see, because it is not just the mitre and the cope and the staff and all them things. It comes with a certain honor. Now, you don't be surprised if now that I'm a bishop, some of the people who want to put us in trouble in this area, their mouths are shut forever.
Don't be surprised. Yeah.
Because even before I was a bishop, people knew that I was a little anointed. And then if I have been elevated, it's not just a physical elevation, it's a spiritual elevation. Now, Mr. Rankin, you know, daddy here, Mr. Rankin, Pastor Isan's father, he's at the back there. Last Sunday, I hear he had an experience. I hear when I was it when I was coming down, or was when I was coming to the pulpit, something like that. What's he saying? Was when I was coming down? Is it when I was here? Uh-huh. Tell us. Where's the microphone? Tell us what happened. Because sometimes people don't say things. Though. You see, Guyanese, we don't like talking about our things. Because we say somebody who mind my business. Yes, go ahead. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is it working? Okay. Kofi is not seeing the microphone to give you.
Hey. Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Before you went on the stage, the instrumental was playing.
Yeah.
There was something playing.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he said to me that he saw.
And that's, we do that all the time. When we are doing skit on stage, we back the people. Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on? No. If you go to culture and watch it, you never back the people. You should always, either is this or at least your side. Never back. What, people want to see your back? You should watch it. Next time you're doing a skit, you should watch it. I wanted to say this long time ago. Now I remembered. Yes, sir.
Yes. While the instrumental were playing, you're about to go on stage. You were playing something, right? He said he was sitting there and he was looking in this direction. And he was looking through the door, and he said he saw the whole back just transform into a blue like the sky, that sky blue, and then they were clouds. There was some kind of present there, spiritual present, but at the time they didn't reveal itself. There was something there about to come out before you came on the stage. Mm. But he said as you look at it, the present was so strong that it began to affect him physically. Yeah. Began to feel bad, and they had to take him outside. But there was some spiritual forces right here. Angels, the presence of God was very, very strong, just waiting.
Yeah.
For you to come on stage, then
it's a real thing. Thank you very much. I'm teaching you something from the Bible. I said, Jesus who raised somebody from the dead, Jesus who said that this lady is not dead, she's sleeping. When he went to his own people, when he saw his classmates, when he saw people that he rewrote CXC with, then they began to look at him with a different eye. And the Bible says that because of that, he could not do any mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on some folk. So what makes such a power not work? It is because of the people and how they are looking at you. That's the lesson we are teaching you today. That where the anointing is not honored, it refuses to work. Now, if God has given you an individual to help you, to bless you, to help guide you, and to advise you, and you don't honor that person, you are cutting yourself away from God. And once you cut yourself from what God has given to you, then what else do you have? It's very interesting that sometimes people will have things to do, but they will do it for another pastor than for the pastor who has been with them. No, it happened. There was a case where a visiting minister went to a church, preached very powerfully, all kinds of things. After the end of the program, the pastor was staying with the pastor. So that the pastor was living with me. Lo and behold, the last day, when the pastor was about to leave, somebody drives a vehicle into the house and says, "I have come to bless you with a vehicle." So the visiting minister who has come for 3 days gets a new vehicle. The pastor who is the person who invited him, he's like, go to hell. Why? It is because when you are with people, sometimes even for a long time, people begin to get used to you. Takes you for granted. Yeah. That's why I've even started with this message, because before I realized, it's almost as if I'm not a bishop. It's almost as if I've not been anointed. It's almost as if I've not been elevated. So we have to understand that there's an anointing in this place, and the anointing must be honored. If the anointing is not honored, it will not work for us. It will not. That is why, in concluding, the devil always wants to make pastors look dirty. Why? Because once the pastor looks dirty, the honor is gone. And then you and I will not benefit anyway. You look at Pope. Isn't it not a human being who has sex? Sex is a human thing. There's nothing new about having sex. If you analyze it. Oh, don't you have sex? You are sitting in the church, you are not married, but you still have sex. We should put you on Kaicho News and also talk about you. As you are sitting down, sperms take 72 hours to die. As you are sitting down in the church, the sperms from last night, they are swimming inside your inside. They are not dead yet. Maybe the anointing right now is killing them inside there. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout. Come on. Yeah. It's not that they are trying to die because of the anointing. Now that I mentioned their name, now they are beginning to disappear. No, if you look at it really,
We know bad things are bad things, yes. We know men of God should not be doing certain things. We know that. But what is going to happen? I mean, if you understand God and understand the Bible and principles, you will hardly criticize a pastor, you know. Whether he's a good pastor or a bad pastor, who actually tells you that somebody's a bad one? You, are you a good one? What is the criteria for a bad pastor? Well, tell me, what is the criteria? What's the criteria? It's because we have been taught to disrespect people. Now, you analyze the thing. Analyze the thing. The only thing that had to happen was that the public got to know and it was a disgrace and all of that. But you can't take him to court. You can't prosecute him. He still has his church. Those who want to go will go. Those who don't want to go, they will stay away. He's still who he is. Because all of us are animals. All of us are like that. All of us have sex. And you see, what you don't understand is that you don't know what it takes to have women in your church and not touch them. You don't know what it is. There's hardly a woman here that I'll say, come and see me in the office, who will not come. True or false? Because you don't, I mean, I say you should come. So out of respect for your pastor, you come. In that same sense, you see, we have a lot of power. And because you don't have that power, so you don't know how it is. You look at all the politicians. You see them, how they are doing, what they are doing when they come into power. When they are not into power, they say all kinds of things. When they come into power, then they begin to behave different. Because power is a very difficult thing to handle and to manage. It takes the grace of God to have over 100 women here. And then 50 of them are not pregnant with me. Yeah. You become the pastor and see how you make everybody's belly become big. I tell you. No, it's a very serious thing I'm saying. That is how come you see or you hear some of these things happen. And when it happens, it's not a time to go and disrespect people and create music. The person who created that music, the person is doomed. Because if that person was a pastor, maybe he cannot even bring 10 people together. You see, and what people don't understand about God is that God is a God who will stand with anybody who takes up his name to start and form a church. Because he wants people to be saved. You are sitting now, you don't want to preach. Look at how you are saying becoming a shepherd is fronting. When I say some people should come and help me do home sale, they say they don't want to be fronting. So they don't want to do that. Look at even becoming just a church worker, you don't want to do it. Now how much more you are a man of God and you are facing the public. Everybody has something to say about you. Do you think God is a fool to disown his people who are trying to do something for him? You just came into this world. That's why you are thinking like that. You just came around. In a season and an age where it's very difficult for people to believe in God and to go all out and start churches and form churches and preach to people Sunday after Sunday. You'll be surprised that God has forgiven him and has even given him another anointing or something. You'll be very surprised. But anytime it is your own, they begin to misbehave. That's why the Bible says, and Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. It's not about good or bad. That's what we're talking about. It is understanding. The shoes that people wear, you can't wear them. Yeah. Joel Osteen, the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston. The guy, that young guy, nice guy, who preaches with such a big, huge mini stadium that everybody listens to his message here sometimes in the morning. When his father died, the church was his father's church. And his father died. He was a video man during his father's time as a preacher. And then, when his father died, he was not even the one who his father had eyes on to become the pastor. But when his father died, the next Sunday when he was asked to preach, I mean, he stepped in. The first Sunday he came to preach, he was wearing his father's shoes. Yeah. Because you just sitting there and the people say, okay, you. Or even your father said, it's you. The first Sunday, whether the shoe was big or small, The guy said, I can't go on this stage like that. I need something from my father. So that's like how Elisha, when Elijah went up, Elisha had Elijah's mantle. And that is what parted the Jordan for him to come back. Because, you see, when Elijah and Elisha went and Elijah was carried away, they went through a river, Jordan. Elijah made the river divide into two and they walked. So after Elijah went up, there was no bridge. There was no boat. Elijah had to come back home. So when he got to the Demerara River, lo and behold, he's wondering, how do I get back? And he remembered he had Elijah's coat. And he hit the water with it. Lo and behold, the water divided into two. That's how come he was able to come back. Yeah. In the same way. You see, it tells you anointing and things that belong to an anointed, how they are. That's Figuera. Stand up. She was telling me. She says that when she comes to stand here on stage, she forgets the song that she's going to sing. She says she rehearsed very well, knows her words and everything. But when she comes to stand here, you see, so when you see her, they say, what's that? Shame. She can't even sing. Hey, please. If you could also come and stand here and sing, then we will clap for you. You can ask her. You can interview. You can give her a private interview after church. She forgets. She said the other day, as she was singing, she felt like she was being choked. It was like, don't sing. Don't sing. Don't sing. And so you sit there, and you look at her, and then you think, she can't sing. She always. Look at she. Hey, you must pray for she. Yes. Because this place that I am standing... It takes anointing to stand here. It's a small wooden something. Some gray carpet. But it has a spiritual implications and an impact when I stand here. And that should, we should understand it and honor it and respect it. Now, if you like, you start singing. This morning when the choir was singing, I wasn't sure you were singing. It was you. The key was somewhere else. You wonder whether this song has ever been sung. You see, you can do all that you do, but when you come and you get here and you don't pray, you are not spiritual. You see, it will show that you don't respect what is happening here. So he goes, you send your word to you. You can't just stand here. It takes anointing. That is why our mistakes, the mistakes of a pastor, should not be something you enjoy. You make fun of. You ridicule. You see, even Jesus, he didn't make any mistake. But look at how they treated him. How much more if he had made a mistake? If he had gone to have sex with two women in his church? Hey! Then you come up with a music, London Bridge is broken down. You! If you even have a bridge... And you see ignorant people and idiots in this country playing the music and promoting a lot of disrespect for the Lord's anointed. Where the anointing is not honored, it doesn't work. You see, a man, but there is God around a man. Be careful. Be careful. Thank you. I think that's something that will help you. It's analysis. That's why I was trying to give you some analysis. We are all men. We all know beautiful girls. We all know nice bottoms. We all know nice faces. Ivana, don't you know nice faces? Have you not seen some since you started coming to this church?
Yes, Bishop.
Plenty?
Yeah.
You're a human being. I'm also a human being. The only difference is that the grace of God upon my life is a little stronger than yours. And even with that, if I don't exercise self-control, every day I'll have one. Yeah, I can start from the car. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, tea, breakfast, brunch, everything. No, you don't have an idea. And it's not a difficult thing. Oh. These things are not even any, it can happen so easily. It takes 5 minutes. Pop, 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 pop. You break, you are done. Let me go. Easy. Hit around, you go. Not difficult at all. Yeah. If you ask a real man here, they will tell you. Unless you're a robot. Mm-hmm. How many robots are here? Robot. Even the robot. So the devil now comes to try and make you look at him. When some names were changing the church, then people were saying, what? Why do you allow somebody from Africa to come and change your name? You are a fool. Hey, a carpenter. Is this not the brother of James and Joseph and his sisters among us? The moment you do that, the anointing is dishonored. It's cut off. Excuse me, but when the anointing works, you get all that you need from the anointing. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. My sister called me yesterday. This bishop thing is very interesting. It's not even how many weeks I was a bishop. I became a bishop. My sister called me yesterday. She says, please, let's do video call. I said, why do you want to see my face? So, man, let's do video call. I said, all right. Video. And she begins to tell me that now I'm beginning to look at my father as well. I said, girl, let's talk. Let's talk about what, why. Then she tells me that her first daughter is getting married next year, August, 2018 August. This year, August has not even come. And she wants me to officiate the wedding. I said, God spare life. 2018 August? She said, 4th August. She has given me the date. 4th August 2018. Whether I'm dead or alive, I am the officiating minister. Because it's like, if my uncle is a bishop, why should I go for anybody to come and bless my marriage? So I have been booked till next year. Be for bishop. When I was a reverend, nobody called me and said, I'm going to get married. You are reverend, I have the power to officiate weddings and all of that. Yeah, no bookings. I check my agenda. I say, hey, nothing. They say, nothing. Nobody's. Hey, now that you're a bishop, even family, a little girl somewhere wants you to come in next year. You know how many days we have to go to next year? I mean, you don't even wait till next year, maybe 3 months before. Then we know that we are sure that we are going to be alive 3 months. It's next year. And only God knows what is ahead also. You cannot take yourself away from the honor, take away from the benefits of having a pastor and a bishop among you. Somebody who, are you not glad to know a bishop? Yeah. I'm also glad to know you. Yeah. Yeah. Prince can say that he goes to a church with a bishop. Yeah. Cry. It's an honor for all of us. But if we will benefit, it means that we will have to honor the anointing. My time is up. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. before Bishop.
My God, why don't you thank God for His word? He's teaching us. He's teaching us. What a teaching. What an eye opening. If the Lighthouse Chapel will practice this, it can even affect other churches. If you meet somebody from another church and they are saying some bad things about their pastor, now you can speak to the person properly. Hey. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank God for His word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious words, oh God. Lebrosika barandere mekebredes. Mbararasika bandoro mokebresetires. Mandiri mikebres kebrendere mekaya basata. Mararandiri mikabros keberenes. Mama mande. Libro bobo si kabarande de mi kabra baba. Mandere me kabra si tabara ba kabra baba. Mamandere me kabra sa tabara baba. Libro si toboro bo kabra baba. Lilo se tebere me kabra baba. Oh yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lilelebe se kebrene. Mandere me kabra baba. Let us honor your presence. Let us honor the anointing, oh God. Labor, let that be a practice, let that be a culture, oh God, where we don't play with anointed vessels that Lord you have given to us here in this church, in this denomination, oh God. We may not understand it all, but we want to honor, we want to respect, we want to admire, oh God, all the days of our lives. Let us not be like the people in Nazareth who did not experience the blessings that come out of Jesus. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because Jerusalem did not receive him. When he was walking into Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey, they came to cause the people to shut their mouths and to not disturb them and not to honor Jesus as he sat on the donkey. He cried over Jerusalem. Lord, may you not cry over our church. May you not cry over our ministry. May you not cry over your people here. And because they will dishonor, but Lord, may you rejoice. May you be pleased. May you be glad that Lighthouse Chapel International, we honor men of God. We honor the people of God. We honor the anointing. We honor those that God you have set above us. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Lebre sata baraba kabras kataraba. Raba baba sita baraba kebre bebebe. Rasa tabaraba kalondolo. Ribebebe setebe. Rakaba sata barababa. Rababa setebebe. Merenerebe kabrasatara. Le kabrasataraba. Father, I pray for pastors in this country. I pray for churches, oh God. Lebo bobo sika barababa. Randereme kabasatababa. Lirebe setebebe. Honor, oh God. Honor, oh God, of your body. Lebrasatabarababa. When you were about to die and the woman came with an alabaster box of ointment, you said this woman came to honor you. Lebrasatababa. May we honor you. May we honor the anointing. May I honor the anointed vessels, oh God. Lebre satabara baba. Kayandere me kebre setebere me. Mandiri me kabra satabara baba. Lelele setebere me. Mandere me kabra sataya. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Lebro sitara bakabrana. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We give you praise. We glorify you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word has fallen on good soil. And thank you that, Lord, the soil will bring forth these seeds as trees, as plants that are stronger than before. Thank you that this teaching will forever be part of the lives of your people.
and that we will pass this on from generation to generation. We will pass it on to friends and colleagues and neighbors, oh God, that your church, your servants, your anointed vessels will not be disrespected and dishonored.
I give you praise and I give you glory. Thank you for Jesus. You are here this morning. Before I bring this part to a close, you are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. The Bible said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. While every eye is closed, it's a very, very serious moment. I want every eye to close. I want you to check your life, check yourself, and see whether you have eternal life or not. Whether you've ever prayed a sinner's prayer with your whole heart, accepting Jesus into your life. If you've never prayed that prayer, if you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die, then you need to be prayed for. Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, I want to ask you to lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Before I leave, I want to do that. You are here like that. Just your right hand up high, above your head, so I can see, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Your right hand up high. God bless you. You lifted up that right hand. You are serious. You mean it. You mean this business with God. I want to ask you to leave where you are. Leave your seat and come to the front so I can pray with you. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. God bless you. 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 Wow. God bless you. God bless you. Come to Jesus. It's never too late. This is your time. This is your moment. God bless you. Oh, come on, say it. Clap for them as they come. Let him have his way. God bless you. God bless you. You're welcome. You want to join them? Come. It's not late. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Come on to Jesus. Give him your heart today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Give him your heart today. Give him your heart today. Come on to Jesus. Give him your heart today. You want to join them? Come very quickly. We are just about to pray.
Let him have his way.
Close your eyes with me if you are here in front. The Bible says that if you believe in God, if you believe in him with your heart, and then if you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He says it is with your heart you believe, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe in Jesus, you believe that he's the Son of God, you believe that he died for your sins, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite this same Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From today, I will walk like Jesus walked, because I believe that I'm born again. My life has changed. I am a brand new person, and I am now a child of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul and writing my name in the book of life. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.